City News, in partnership with the Historical Society of Ottawa, brings you this weekly feature by director James Powell, highlighting a moment in Ottawa's history. During the late 19th century, electricity was the big new invention that was transforming people's lives. Within a short span of years, electric lights replaced gas lamps in homes, in businesses and on city streets in the major cities of North America. Horse-drawn public transportation was also retired in favor of electric streetcars, also known as trolleys. But while the fast and comfortable trolleys were very popular on weekdays and on Saturday mornings transporting commuters from the suburbs to downtown offices, streetcar companies found their vehicles underused on Saturday afternoons and Sundays. What to do? The answer was to increase weekend ridership by giving people someplace to go and something to do on their time off. Spurred by the success of Coney Island in New York City, transit companies in many major North American cities built amusement parks, colloquially known as electric parks. Constructed at the end of a streetcar line, these parks attracted thousands of working-class men, women and children seeking weekend fun and excitement. Of course, people had to buy a streetcar ticket to get there. The days of the automobile were still in the future. Ottawa Hull was no exception to these trends. Thomas Ahearn and Warren Soper introduced the electric streetcar to the nation's capital in 1891. 4 years later, their Ottawa Electric Railway Company, OERC, opened the West End Park on Holland Avenue in Hintonburg, which was then on the outskirts of the city. Later known as Victoria Park, following the Diamond Jubilee of Queen Victoria in 1897, the park was the home to many rides and musical entertainments. The West End Park was the location of the showing of the first motion pictures in Ottawa in 1896. Across the Ottawa River 2 miles west of Alamer, the Hull-Alamer Electric Railway Company opened Queen's Park in May 1897, again named in honor of Queen Victoria, at the western terminus of its line. Among the attractions at this park, located on Lac des Chines, a widening in the Ottawa River rather than an actual lake, were a merry-go-round, a water chute and a mystic maze. To compete with the Queen's Park development in Quebec, the OERC acquired 18 acres of land in the little summer cottage community of Britannia Village to the west of Ottawa. There, it established in 1900 an amusement park, with swimming and boating facilities on the Ontario side of Lac des Chines, with a purpose-built tramline linking the new park to downtown Ottawa. Appropriately, it was called the Britannia Line. Thomas Ahearn gave journalists a sneak preview of the new line in mid-January 1900. Although the rails had been laid all the way to Britannia Village, at that date the electric lines only went as far as Richmond Road. But the tramline was completed in time for its official opening at 6 a.m. on the Queen's birthday holiday on the 24th of May 1900. From the post office at the corner of Sparks and Elgin Streets to Britannia on the Bay tram stop took just 28 minutes, much of which was through the city. The trip from Holland Avenue, the previous end of the line, to Britannia on the Bay, with stops at Westboro, Barry's Wharf and Baker's Bush, took only 8 minutes. The cost for the trip from downtown was initially set at 10 cents, the usual 5-cent fare plus another 5 cents to travel on the newly completed Britannia line. The 5-cent supplement was later dropped. In and of itself, the trip to Britannia on the Bay was an exciting adventure for Ottawa citizens at the dawn of the 20th century. Carried in specially made carriages, trolleygoers were taken along rails that ran close to the south side of Richmond Road except for the last mile or so where they crossed Richmond Road to head into Britannia. After leaving the city, which essentially ended at Preston Street, people journeyed through fields of grain and cow pastures, past fine homes and shoreline cottages before reaching their destination. A journalist on the initial January test run said there was a number of long grades with several sharp turns that give the route a rolling appearance, which will add zest, since pleasure-seeking humanity likes a spice of danger with its bit of fun. He added that between Hintonburg and Britannia, there were a number of lovely spots. On reaching Britannia on the Bay, riders crossed to the park, its beach and a long pier via a high footbridge, built at a cost of $1,500 by the OERC, which went over the Canadian Pacific Railway, CPR, tracks that ran north of the tramline. The footbridge allowed visitors to the park to avoid any danger of being hit by passing trains. On the other side were picnic gardens, concession stands as well as bathing and boating facilities on a 30-foot-wide pier that extended 1,050 feet into Lac des Chines. The pier was built of wood with a stone base, using material excavated by the Metropolitan Power Company in an earlier failed attempt to build a canal and hydroelectric generating station at Britannia. Lit by electric lights at night, the pier was furnished with seating that ran along its length, perfect for visitors to sit and enjoy the sights, listen to band concerts, and to watch the promenading crowds. At the end of the pier was a perpendicular, 200-foot-long breakwater that protected moorings for boats. At the land end, two octagonal pavilions were erected at a cost of $2,500, housing a restaurant, changing rooms and bathrooms, a ladies' parlor and sitting rooms. The weather on opening day was bright and fine, attracting thousands of Ottawa picnickers to try out the OERC's new park and pier at Britannia. Although the pavilions were not quite completed, they were temporarily fitted up for use, for the estimated crowd of 12,000 to 15,000 visitors. The band of the 43rd Battalion gave a concert in the afternoon and evening to the multitudes. When darkness fell, the park was brilliantly illuminated by electric lights. 10 large arc lights lit up the pier. The new Britannia Park was a big success, and over the next several years was considerably improved and expanded. With the new waterside park eclipsing the old Victoria Park on Holland Avenue, the OERC cannibalized the latter's attractions, moving its merry-go-round and auditorium to Britannia. In 1904, the OERC increased the size of the park by buying the 35-acre Mossgrove property close to Carling Avenue. It also extended the pier by 400 feet, at the end of which a three-story boathouse was erected that became the Britannia Boating Club's clubhouse. In addition to rooms for members and a lower storage area for boats and canoes, which were available for rent by visitors, the clubhouse had a large ballroom and grandstand for spectators. At night, a searchlight on top of the building played over the darkened waters of Lac des Chines. Other attractions at Britannia Park included excursions on the double-decker, side-wheeler, steamer G.B. Green, the Queen of the Ottawa River, which took tourists upstream to Chats Falls two or three times a week. Through the summer, holidaymakers were entertained by the festivities and music of Venetian Nights. Britannia Park enjoyed its peak of popularity before World War I. Then things started to sour. In 1916, the G.B. Green burnt. Though it was rebuilt, with Canada at war, sightseeing wasn't as popular as in the past. The steamer ended up towing logs and was dismantled in 1946. In August 1918, the clubhouse at the end of the pier was consumed by flames. Some 200 canoes and boats, along with the personal effects of members as well as trophies, furnishings and other valuables were lost. Although the cause of the $50,000 fire was never accurately determined, it was believed that a lighted cigarette carelessly thrown into the window of a bathroom was to blame. Through the 1920s, amusement parks everywhere began to lose their allure. With more and more families owning their own automobile, people had the luxury of exploring other entertainment options. No longer were they limited to where the trolley could take them. Queen's Park outside of Aylmer closed. Britannia limped on. The park's Lakeside Gardens Pavilion still managed to pull in the crowds for dances through the 1930s. Sunday band concerts also remained popular. In the early 1930s, the OERC began promoting the park as a great place for parents to send their children. For youngsters under 51 inches tall, i.e. roughly 8 years old or less, the trolley company advertised that they could travel to Britannia for only 6 4/7 cents, total fare, if they purchased a book of 7 tickets for 25 cents plus an additional 3-cent fare for the Britannia line. Under its policy of safety first, the trolley company said that special attention and care would be given to children by its carmen. It is therefore possible to send children to Britannia on the bay with the assurance that they will be safe while going, while at the beach and while returning. Clearly, this was a different time with a different level of care expected of parents. Few today would consider sending young children to swim at a public beach on city transit without formal supervision. By the late 1940s, Britannia Park and Britannia Beach were becoming shabby from years of use and limited maintenance. Transit consultants advised the financially weak OERC to close the park. In 1948, the Ottawa Transport Commission, which was owned by the City of Ottawa, took over the transit company, including its Britannia property. Concerned that the park was continuing to deteriorate, the city decided in 1951 to operate it directly. Some improvements were made, including the building of a children's miniature railway at the park. However, more grandiose plans that include a zoo, stock car racing, and two artificial pools never left the drawing board. Park infrastructure continued to rot. Meanwhile, the beach was becoming fouled by weeds and pollution. By 1954, what had been one of Canada's top tourist attractions was now considered Canada's worst. That year, the footbridge over the CPR tracks was demolished. The trains themselves continued to go through the park until they were relocated out of downtown Ottawa in 1966. In 1955, the aging Lakeside Gardens burnt to the ground. New investments were finally made into the park in 1958. The rotting wooden pier, now deemed unsafe, was demolished. The stone base of the original 1,050-foot pier built in 1900 was widened and the beach expanded. Lakeside Gardens was also rebuilt for dances. With these changes, the park experienced a brief renaissance. However, it was not to last, doomed by changing tastes, and for Lakeside Gardens, the lack of a liquor license. The beach was also increasingly shunned owing to a persistent weed problem. City efforts to control the weeds using bulldozers, chemicals, and tons of rock salt proved fruitless. This was a time before much consideration was given to the environment. In any event, pollution closed the beach for extended periods. During the 1960s and 1970s, Britannia Park was threatened by a planned extension of the Ottawa River Parkway, today's Sir John A. Macdonald Parkway, through the park using the old CPR right-of-way, now turned into a bike path, as well as the construction of the Deschenes Bridge that would have linked Allamer to Ottawa. Both ideas were finally scuppered by opposition from area residents and changing government priorities. Today, Britannia Village, annexed by Ottawa in 1950, is no longer a remote summer cottage community. Businesses and housing have long filled the open space between the old city of Ottawa and Britannia and beyond. The streetcars that once linked it to downtown are gone. The last trolley to Britannia on the Bay rode into history in 1959. But the magnificent park and beach endure. Owing to the marked improvement to the water quality of the Ottawa River due to the closure of the pulp and paper mills that had polluted it with their effluent, and the treatment of sewage by riverine communities, boaters and swimmers have returned. While Britannia Park and its beach may no longer attract the hordes of day trippers they did every weekend 100 years ago, they remain a popular summer destination for people trying to escape the heat of the city. The Ron Colbus Lakeside Center, formerly the Lakeside Gardens, also continues to host big band dances as well as education courses ranging from the arts and crafts and dog obedience, to yoga and fitness.